In the 60s, there weren't many places where mods and rockers, skinheads, and long-haired, peace-loving, loon-wearing hippie types came together. But in Peterborough, there was one such place, and it was called the Cloud Nine Club.
Little girl! Oh, little girl!
We're on Bridge Street, which was the main thoroughfare of Peterborough before pedestrianisation. Across the road is the Town Hall. Opposite to the Town Hall is Wentworth Street. And halfway down there was the Grand Hotel, one of the area's leading hotels back in the day. And that had a ballroom, which then became Cloud Nine. That's the start of the story, really. Well, now
are you mine. Hey. That's Steve Allen. He was the teenage promoter who in 1969 created Cloud Nine. Nearly 50 years on, club regular Wendy Cardillo can still picture it.
Actually, it was rather smoky, very dark. You couldn't see an awful lot of people. But yeah, that's what I remember most. But it was the place to be at the time. The sound was very good. And it was very interesting and different, and it was the whole ambiance of the place, really. Oh, please, say that you love me too. Oh, girl, look so fine.
Oh, baby. I'm so happy now that you are really mine. Oh, little girl. Oh, little girl. Starting us off on one of the most varied musical selections you'll ever hear, the Graham Bond Organisation, who played Cloud Nine. But they weren't the first band Steve Allen booked for the club.
Do. Oh, yeah. 60 Minutes on Cloud Nine with Gerald Mayne.
The first act was a band called the Scatterlights. And they had a really big ska record out at the time called Guns of Navarone, which had been a hit in Jamaica in the middle 60s and crossed over to the mod scene in England, but were then touring the UK on the basis of their hits from that sort of early mod scene.
Before we get too much further into this, let's rewind. Who was this kid promoter, Steve Allen, and what was his background?
I was a teenage promoter, I guess, running discos at local pub top rooms and such like. And at that stage, I would be 19. I was running clubs such as the Soul Discotheque and the Phonograph, all at premises owned by patent breweries. And obviously, I was doing a good job for their beer sales or paying my rent on time. I was then invited to take over the redundant ballroom of the Grand Hotel, which was, you know, probably 300, 400 capacity location. Formerly a ballroom where the Rotarians and such like would have their functions. And then it was a steak bar. Steak bars went out of popularity because of the bistros. And so the place was empty. And the brewery said to me, have a go at it. And I grabbed it, without too much thought. The guy who was working for me as a sort of cashier said, Steve, it'll make you or break you. And I think that was, it was a good foresight on his part. Thankfully, at the time, it made me, because as a young promoter, by the time I was 21, I had the major club in Peterborough staging the big names of the day. I did lead a kind of double life, because during the day, I was an apprentice printer. That did give me great insight into how to present publicity and such like. But I still had a job to do, and I was an apprentice, so I was indentured, as they called it, and I couldn't really get out of that apprenticeship until I was 21. So some of the work I did was as a young printer, running discos and such like on the side. But by the time it came to Cloud Nine, my company had disposed of my services because I was spending more time running my entertainment agency and my promotions company than I was setting up type-faced dance tickets and such like for my employer.
The Scatterlights and their version of Malcolm X. They were the start of Cloud Nine, a club which would go on to stage the likes of Genesis, Free and Jimmy Ruffin, and all those stories still to come. Ahead of that, here's a guy who, along with Desmond Dekker, was one of the biggest names in reggae music, and he played Cloud Nine. Freddie Notes and his band, the Rudies.
I remember coming to Peterborough, I think twice. Yeah, you know, one with the Rudies, Freddie Notes and the Rudies, the number one reggae band in the country. We tried to do like Bart, Dude, some of the American bass, some of the English bass. Some of the gigs that we can't even remember.
Hazy memories are, well, a bit of a theme with some of the people I've been talking to. But Freddie remembers what he played and the reaction to it.
You know, we did a medley, you know, a little scat, little reggae, little rock steady, little soul. In those days, we didn't specialize in only just playing reggae. We have to entertain the crowd, you know. Well, we always call ourselves London boys, you know what I mean? But when we step outside of London, we find the atmosphere very energetic, like people enjoy what they see. It's like a novelty in some cases. There were more whites than black. I always get good response from the people there, you know, because we did a lot of little gigs around there.
Freddie loved Peterborough, and Steve Allen loved booking Freddie.
Well, they were just one of the great sort of touring Saturday night reggae ska bands that played clubs throughout the UK. And because the club had some kind of affinity with the reggae scene, it was when the Trojan scene would start to kick off, you know, long after the early sort of Bluebeat era. And so Freddie Notes was around on the scene with a good sort of reputation for the ska skinhead kind of following. And as you know, we had Scatterlights opening the club, and we had many other well-known ska names appearing on the Saturday nights.
Cloud Nine was open on Saturdays and Sundays, and the two nights couldn't have been more different.
The contrast was unbelievable. Saturday night, the bouncers were fighting the customers, and on Sunday nights, the customers were giving the bouncers flowers. We called it the Night of Good Sounds, and the two ran parallel so well because Saturday night was noisy, aggressive, ska music, skinhead, soul music, early Motown days. Still nice customers in there, but an element that gave us a lot of trouble. And the Sunday night, you couldn't have... The contrast was unbelievable. We threw cushions down on the floor. People sat on the floor to watch the bands. And joss sticks were burning, and the liquid light projector was knocking out all of those images all around the walls.
A regular at Cloud Nine was Norma Palmer. Norma Watson, as she was known back then. Her brother Lloyd was a local guitarist who was building up quite a following. So, Norma, a Saturday or a Sunday girl?
I was both, because my dad was Jamaican, so we were brought up with reggae and Bluebeat, as it was then. Lloyd listened to every type of music, and I just liked everything. I used to wear what were known as loon pants. I loved my loon pants and my cheesecloth shirts, and I can remember buying mine, mail order, from an advert in the back of Melody Maker. And they were burgundy at the top and navy at the bottom.
And you can imagine Norma dancing to these guys, Root and Jenny Jackson.
60 Minutes on Cloud 9 with Gerald Mayne.
You're listening to the music and memories of Peterborough's Cloud 9 Club. Some people went to great lengths to get in, like Leo Lyons, a short, skinny teenager with long hair.
I think it was probably 1970, so I would have been 15 then. So, strictly speaking, I shouldn't have been able to get in those clubs, but I was desperate to see the music, and so had to find a way of getting in. I was short, still am. Slight longish hair and quite girly looking, and I figured that walking up to the ticket office and trying to get in, they were not going to let me in. I mean, I'd been in situations where I tried to get into pubs with my mates and they'd always sort of pointed at me and said, "Oi, you out, you're too young." But someone came up with the idea that if I pretended to be one of the bigger lads' girlfriends, I might not get stopped. And this is what we did. And my mate Steve, who's a big chap, I went in with him. And although we did get, he did get asked whether I was old enough, he assured the guy on the door that I was old enough. And we paid our 6 shillings, I think it was, and maybe 10 shillings, I don't know, and we were in.
Norma Palmer also used deception to get into the club.
My first memory was actually telling my parents that I was going somewhere else entirely different, which was Dogthorpe Methodist Church Sunday Night Disco, and being dropped off there by my dad, and then us all walking into town and going to Cloud Nine, but then having to make my way back to Dogthorpe by the time my dad picked me up. And my parents were very broad-minded, but town was my brother's domain. He was well-known, everybody knew him, and I was the little sister, and little sisters at that point were supposed to be seen and not heard. And if I encroached on his territory, he didn't like it. So I used to go to my places, he would go to his places, but then when the girls said, "We're going to Cloud Nine," the usual thing was we would get down to town and one of them would go in first and do a recce, and if Lloyd wasn't anywhere about, I would go in. But if somebody knew that Lloyd was on the way, they'd come in and tell me and I'd beat a hasty retreat.
Hang on, one of those hazy memories is becoming clearer. What's that you're saying, Leo?
Oh, Curved Air. I think I saw Curved Air. I think that was a really good gig. One of the things they were known for is they brought out this really colourful vinyl album that was very psychedelic at the time, and it was a thing to have. That was quite a good evening. For me, it was one of those things where it was like crossing a barrier from being a kid into the proper teenage years and feeling more grown up, sort of hanging out in a club with all these really cool looking people. at that time, it really felt like an alternative culture. It really felt like your parents' world was black and white and you were living in the world of colour, and that your parents really wouldn't understand what was going on. So being able to go to somewhere like Cloud Nine, you felt that you joined some exclusive club that was only available to this generation. You were part of some sort of exciting and cool secret sort of thing, semi-secret thing that went on.
The 60s might be associated with peace and love, man, but there was the odd punch-up at Cloud Nine, as Steve Allen recalls.
The bouncers did have a lot of problems on their hands on the Saturday night sessions. We had the latter-day mod crowd, which were stylish and dressed in suits and out for a good night, but then you had the sort of skinhead scene, and they were just trouble. They went out to fight. Their dress was Brutus shirts and big boots and jeans, or stay-pressed. And the Saturday night bouncers, I visited a couple in hospital, actually, following a Saturday night working for me as a bouncer.
One of the artists that is fondly remembered is J.J. Jackson.
Well, J.J. Jackson was really an undiscovered gem of an act, because his tracks at the time, But It's All Right, I think, was the biggest one from Recall, was an act that was well recognised by the soul crowd. So not an enormous pop chart connection, but those who knew what tunes were the ones that the DJ should play enjoyed seeing J.J. Jackson. He pulled a pretty good crowd. And then the next one that really did do well for us, and to this day people talk about it locally, was Lee Dorsey. And Lee Dorsey was a guy who had a big hit called Get Out My Life, Woman, before this era, but then also with massive dance floor hits such as Working in a Coal Mine and Ride Your Pony, was not only a mod favourite, but also the latter-day mod coming on skinhead favourite.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down. So tired. How long can this
Lucky played Cloud Nine in a band called Orpheus. They were a local band who often supported the bigger acts.
I'm now 72, and I say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. We played a couple of times as support group to people who'd come and like the top bands, but for the life of me, I can't remember who the top bands were.
Thank you.
We used to go to Cloud Nine, free admission, and listen to the bands because Steve was keen for us to hear professional bands. And a couple of times we played there as well. And it was probably the liveliest place in Peterborough. It was, I don't know, it was magical when you look back on it. We were a support band, and the big bands used to like us because we could warm up the audience, but we were never quite good enough to overshadow the top band.
Jody Grind's version of The Stones, Painted Black.
60 Minutes on Cloud 9 with Gerald Main.
Coming up, the story of one act that pulled a gun on Steve Allen. But to happier times, when Free came to the club. Norma was there.
I can remember seeing Free there because I was absolutely madly in love with Paul Rodgers. And I think I stood there for the whole time with my mouth open. I just couldn't believe he was that close.
Leo was there too.
I remember the Free gig really well because I think that they'd been booked quite a lot earlier and then they started to become really successful. So, but they honoured the gig, still played the gig. And I think by then they probably just brought out their big hit All Right Now. And I remember it sort of descended into a bit of chaos because I think there were lots of big cushions scattered around the place in Cloud Nine because, you know, it was an era when you sat on the floor cross-legged waiting for the band to come on. In fact, you'd sit cross-legged on the floor through the whole gig unless it got very exciting, then people would get up and dance. And I seem to remember people chucking these cushions around when Free were coming to the end of their performance.
And Steve remembers it well.
Some of my enduring memories of being a promoter were based on the successes of the Sunday nights. As a young promoter, to stage Free just before they broke out to international success with All Right Now, they still were big on the progressive rock scene, and I think the tune they had was called I'll Be Creeping. Free were lovely, lovely guys, and they were a pleasure to stage.
Here we go again! And this was Free, recorded in Sunderland just a few weeks after appearing at Cloud Nine.
Hey,
days, a band with the status of free would command tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of pounds. What about back in the day?
I've got a load of old contracts which I could have a look at, but let's say the acts generally were in prices between £20 and £50 against a percentage of the gate. Now, often they went away with more money than their guarantee, so £20 would be the minimum you would pay them, but if the clicker on the door said there was sufficient income to mean that 50% was more than that, then they would accrue the total of that.
And how much did it cost to get into Cloud Nine?
Do you know, I think before decimalisation we were charging something like 10 shillings. And then after decimalisation, unfortunately, it did distort things a bit, didn't it? And so the prices went up beyond that threshold. So we were charging anywhere between 5 shillings and 10 shillings to get into the club. Here we are, the Genesis contract. And the fee for Genesis was £20 against 50% of the door, and you'll see at the bottom of the contract is the receipt that I paid them £36, 12 shillings. So they obviously exceeded their guarantee of 20. That meant we had a good night. It was one of the early gigs with Phil Collins when they had the change of lineup. And again, it's one of the busiest nights we had. Finger on the pulse, finding the right act that was sort of charging people's enthusiasm at the time.
Sunday at 6, when they close both the gates, a widow pair still sitting there. Wonder if they're late for church and it's cold, so they fasten their coats and cross the grass. They're always last. Passing by the padlock swings, the roundabout still turning. Ahead they see a small girl on her way home with a pram. Inside the archway the priest greets them with a courteous nod. He's close to God, looking back at days of forced adoption. Fierce sleeps of two heads bent in prayer, for friends not there. Leaving tuppence on the plate, they hurry down the path and through the gate and wait to board the bus that ambles down the street.
"60 Minutes" on Cloud Nine with Gerald Main.
Genesis with Phil Collins. Not bad for £6 a ticket. And Leo Lyons remembers that one.
I can't remember who I saw the first time we went. I don't think it was anybody really big. But over the next few months, I saw loads of bands there, some of whom went on to be really well-known, like Free. And Genesis, I think, played there. Quintessence and odd bands like Amazing Blondel and the Radha Krishna Temple.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
The night the Radha Krishna Temple played Cloud Nine, a rumour spread around Peterborough that George Harrison might join them for the gig. Well, the queue of punters snaked down Wentworth Street and into Bridge Street. But the packed house soon disappeared when Harrison failed to show, and the first 25 minutes of the Radha Krishna Temple's set comprised of them chanting, and chanting, and chanting, and chanting.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
So hard, I'm in love with you.
the night Doris Troy played was unforgettable. At least it was for promoter Steve Allen.
Doris Troy, of course, recorded the original version of Just One Look, which was, I think she wrote it as well, and that was covered by the Hollies. But towards the end of the 60s, she had a big, big hit called I'll Do Anything, and we booked her on the back of that success. And the agent that I used to get a lot of these big names from called me a couple of days before the performance was to go ahead and said, Steve, can you please just hold on to Doris's money? She owes us a lot of commission. She's doing a lot of gigs but not paying her dues. And I said, well, look, I don't mind that, providing you check it with Doris Troy. Yeah, yeah, that's all done. Now, on the night, we had a good crowd. It was a fantastic evening. Doris went down an absolute bomb. She had a reputation of being a bit of a difficult woman. I didn't really find that until the end of the performance when I was standing at the bar chatting to some customers, and I had a message to go to the office that I was needed. So I popped into the office thinking that it was just a, you know, thanks very much for a nice gig, see ya. And Doris had a face like thunder and said to me, you're going to pay me. I said, well, hang on, no. The arrangement with your agent is that I don't pay you because, you know, you must have been informed of that. I've informed her nothing. You're going to pay me. And I said, it's not going to happen. At that time, the large gentleman with her, who was her road manager, Minder, opened his jacket and demonstrated that he was packing. And as a 21-year-old, fairly feisty by the necessity of being that way to be in the promotion business, I quickly changed my mind and told my cashier to make sure that Doris had her money. But we didn't book her again.
Listening to 60 Minutes on Cloud 9, the Peterborough club that opened in the autumn of 1969.
Well, basically, on Sunday afternoon come Sunday evening, we used to go to a coffee bar in Peterborough called Purdy's and used to have coffee there, and then we used to go on to Cloud 9 from there. And it was just a ritual of a Sunday, really. Sometimes when a place is a bit of a cult and you've heard about it, it is the in place to go.
It was completely different to any other place in Peterborough at the time. And there were so many people that you knew. You'd spend the first 10 minutes going around saying hello and whatever have you. Then somebody would ask you to dance, or then you'd go off somewhere else. And then you'd say, oh, the band's on, and you'd rush in and you'd realise you'd lost 10 minutes of their act.
Another famous name that appeared at the club was Jimmy Ruffin.
A friend of mine said that she did go to see Jimmy Ruffin when he was there in 1970, and she said all she can really remember about that night was everybody swaying in time to him singing, and she said she's never seen that anywhere else. I mean, and to think that somebody like Jimmy Ruffin played Cloud 9, Peterborough, Wentworth Street, it just wouldn't happen today. Well, it doesn't happen, does it?
Life lands a crushing blow, and once again, a heart is broken. And as history repeats itself, these few words are sadly spoken. I've passed this way before, and I've felt this pain before. I heard that took so long. Love walking away.
once again, heartache has found me.
Face reality.
Jimmy Ruffin, and I did push the boat out at the time comparative to what I paid for other artists, but again, you take a chance on it. We had a great turnout from the local American bases, with people travelling in from USAF, Alconbury, Chick Sands, Mildenhall, Lake and Heath, so that did pump up the numbers for me.
60 Minutes on Cloud 9 with Gerald Mayne.
Woman, you gotta believe me, I'm doing the best that I can. Why can't you agree with me about like any other man? Don't do all those sweet things that you want me to do. First thing in the morning, I won't make love to you. Woman, you gotta believe me, if I told you that I care. Brush my teeth before I go to bed, so you know that I'm prepared. Christmas Eve, all those sweet things, some are old and some are new. The first thing in the morning, I won't make love to you.
You know, they say one thing often leads to another. Well, so it was with a band called Skid Row with a young Gary Moore who played Cloud Nine.
That was quite an interesting booking, really, because I became friends with Ted Carroll, who then set up Ace Records, and Ted was their manager, road manager. And I remember going for a Chinese meal with the Ted and the musicians afterwards, and some of the people that worked for me, my DJs and assistants, and chewing over a chop suey, Ted said to me, you know, you like this kind of music, would you be interested in taking a new band that I'm working on, from Dublin, I think it was, they're called Thin Lizzy. And I said, Ted, if you think they're going to happen, then I would like to book them. And we did. I booked them, signed the contract, but then the club had to close because of the brewery's decision to sell out to Marks & Spencer's to expand their store. And so I still had Thin Lizzy in Peterborough, and we put them on at a pub in Peterborough called the Halcyon, and we called the night Cloud Nine at the Halcyon. Packed to the rafters. I think the volume that Thin Lizzy kicked out was cracking the glass. Great band to deal with. Just superb people. Lovely people to deal with, and great performers. Thin Lizzy, again, one of those acts that I remember booking to this day.
Money.
There's an old adage in showbiz, leave them wanting more. And so maybe on another day we'll hear the stories about Mott the Hoople, Barclay James Harvest, Atomic Rooster and the amazing Blondell, who all played Cloud Nine. But I'll leave you with this memory from Steve Allen about the night the crazy world of Arthur Brown rocked up in Peterborough.
It was a crazy night. It was on the 22nd of March 1970. The equipment was set up and sound checked. The roadies had done a good job. Everything was pending the band. When they were supposed to go on stage, they weren't there. Just in time, they rushed through the door and took to the stage. And they played so late because they wanted to make up for the time. The hotel insisted that the concert should stop, and they turned all the lights were on so that in the end the band were playing with the full lighting on rather than the atmospheric lighting. And they did a 40-minute version of their hit, Fire, which went on and on. But they were really, really well received, you can imagine. But there was that little disturbance at the end whereby the hotel wanted to pull up the shutters and the band wanted to carry on playing.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
Saved and earned.